You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
What happened with Churla is that before Biden left office, Churla was granted a $450,000 grant by DHS, by the way.
Department of Homeland Security gave them that much money?
Yes.
What does that mean? What?
Yeah. So $450,000, literally months before Biden is leaving office.
Welcome to Rivera and Reeves, the podcast where we break through the bias, report the news, and occasionally trip over our soapboxes while ranting about the headlines.
Every week, we tackle the biggest stories with sharp analysis, unfiltered honesty, and just enough sarcasm to keep it fun.
So pull up a chair, grab your coffee, and join us as we wade through the spin, because the media is trash and we have zero patience for their nonsense.
Hey, friends, and welcome to another episode of Rivera and Reeves. I'm Mercedes, and I'm here with my friend Rachel. Say hello, Rachel.
Hello, Rachel.
I was up late last night actually getting ready for this because yesterday I was writing a long-form article fact-checking Gavin Newsom's lovely speech, you know, his presidential, I don't even know what that was.
Like where he had tears in his eyes. He was very, very emotional.
Well, it was funny because a lot of people were pointing to, like, why are his eyes red? And I'm like, I don't know if the dude was on, like, partaking in any extracurriculars or if he had been crying because, you know, the democracy is coming to its end.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was quite the performance. And so I spent a good chunk of time yesterday fact-checking his speech, which is a very loose term to use. However,
it was a production. It was less of a speech and more of a performance.
Absolutely. That's exactly how I described it. Honestly, it was a full-blown performance. Obviously, I had to get ready for the show. And so Rachel and I are texting back and forth and we're like, what are we going to talk about? And there's been a lot of debate or a lot of questions about who is organizing / funding these protests. And so we're going to talk about that and answer that question for you. I mean, we've all been seeing it. There's been violent riots breaking out in Los Angeles, which has also, by the way, spread to other cities like Chicago, New York. There's also been some protests in Dallas. However, Texas is like not having it. I think Abbott already called the National Guard in preparation just in case. And also New York City Mayor Adams said early on that he was not going to be putting up with any nonsense. And so even though there's been quite a ruckus in New York, NYPD seems to be responding and have it pretty much under control for the most part. But California is an entity within itself because of the fact that California is a sanctuary city. And I read an article yesterday from Red State where they did an investigation about who are these organizations that are funding and organizing these protests. And it was interesting. That made me go a little bit deeper. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about...
Oh, goody.
Yay. Who is organizing? Who is funding? And surprise, surprise, there's some federal taxpayer money, but it is mostly, I mean, this is actually kind of insane. A buttload of money is being funded by the state of California.
Also, no surprise, but I mean, surprise to some people who think this is all organic.
Yeah, not the case. So let's first introduce, we're going to do like a introduction of like meet the players, give you guys some backgrounds, give you some in-depth. I mean, I did my best to find and to like verified information to share with you guys. So top of the list is a taxpayer, a California primarily taxpayer-funded activist group called CHURLA, which stands for the Coalition of Human Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles. Now, that sounds not bad, right?
Right.
For the most part. However, we've noticed that in these protests, not only have they been mobilizing very quickly at certain locations, but you're noticing that they have similar signs or the same signs, that just a lot of signs, like general signs. I said, how many times did I say signs?
A lot of times.
That tell us that these are organized. So CHURLA has been around for a long time. They were formed in 1986, and their leader is Angelica Salas. She was born in Mexico, immigrated at the age of 5, and she became a U.S. citizen in 2008. Okay. And she has been leading CHURLA since 1999.
So I have a question.
Go for it.
Has the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles, have they received any federal funding?
So yes, but what they've primarily received is state funding. And it matters. I'm going to give you like two things here. Okay. So what happened with CHURLA is that before Biden left office, CHURLA was granted a $450,000 grant by DHS, by the way.
Department of Homeland Security gave them that much money?
Yes. Because,
what is happening?
What?
Yeah. So $450,000, literally months before Biden is leaving office. Because remember, there was this whole thing about how the Biden administration was basically dumping money into different organizations. Well, it looks like this was part of it. Now, in the grand scheme of things, like before we talked about $20 million that was given to like Stacey Abrams for climate change issues, this is a $150,000 grant, but I mean, it is a grant nonetheless from the federal government by DHS. And interesting tidbit, Karen Bass helped CHURLA obtain this grant.
Of course.
And, okay, Karen Bass went to high school with someone, Alejandro Mayorkas.
Oh, okay.
So
Karen Bass went to high school with Mayorkas?
Yes, to Beverly
the
Hills
same
High.
Age?
Apparently, they're the same age.
Interesting. So, okay. All right. I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but it surprises me.
Well, I mean, it's just kind of wild. You have DHS. You have the mayor. Okay, you have the mayor of L.A. who contacts her former high school buddy. I don't know. Maybe it goes. I mean, it's worse if it goes the other way around. If it was like Mayorkas contacts her and it's like, hey, I got this $450,000 that I need to give, you know, to combat Trump's immigration policy once he comes in, give it to CHURLA. Like, I don't know which way it went. It is my understanding that Karen Bass is the one that facilitated and helped CHURLA get this grant. And then by the time Trump came into office, obviously, there was a lot about they were stopping initially when Trump came into office, there was a lot of stopping of certain funding. You know, we know this USAID, DOGE, that whole situation. Well, this particular grant got put on the list and the administration paused it initially, but it's like a contract because they're being contracted to help with immigration rights or to help people immigrate to the United States. The problem is that when you have an administration that runs for like a decade, changing the definition of immigration being to like illegal immigration, you know, that's what they end up funding. But yeah, so the administration put a pause on it, CHURLA sued, and then they canceled the contract, which made it null and void. And at the time of that cancellation, there was still $100,000 left on the contract.
Wow. So, okay.
But this, I mean, if you want to talk about who is funding CHURLA, the primary funder of CHURLA is California.
Wow.
Because California it was in 2023, according to a financial audit that was submitted to the state of California for the fiscal year ending June of 2023, CHURLA took in $34 million from various government contracts. The 34 million, by the way, is just like California.
It's not even including anything from the federal government.
Uh-uh.
Just 34.
Because their total revenue with contributions and everybody else, aside from California's funding, was $45 million. So
that's
California
insane.
Gives them 75% of its annual revenue from government contracts. Okay. That was in 2023.
Wow. Now, oh my gosh. Like, honestly, what do they, I want to know what they do with that money. Because if there's not like a summer of love where there's a bunch of protests and everybody's getting crazy, what is that money going to? What are they spending that money on? Because
I
would venture a guess that some of that money is being spent on nefarious situations. I don't know. I think there could be some shady stuff happening. If they're funding protests that turn into actual riots, and of course they would say they're anti-violence, it's supposed to be a peaceful protest situation. But if they're funding these kinds of things, I'm curious what else they're funding.
Well, and I mean, my thought is that I would guess that they were possibly facilitating in some way or another illegal immigration.
That is what I am suggesting.
That would be my assumption, you know, that they're just helping people. There was a lot of, I mean, there's been multiple reports of like other charities, like Catholic charities, for example, that are coordinating and providing information in Mexico to help people and tell people how they can cross.
Right.
Legally. And I'm air quoting for those of us who can't see. Into the United States. And so my guess
right.
would be Churla is doing something very different, but that is me speculating as of right now. So we all know about LA riots happening over the weekend, but before the LA riots happened, there was a lot of talk about the raids and people responding to the raids, which then led to the riots,
mm-hmm.
right? So on June 6th, which is before everything popped off, before okay. Trump even called the National Guard, the leader of Churla held a press conference. And I got a clip here because I want you to listen to what she's saying. Because, and then I'm going to share another one. So this is the press conference on June 6th in preparation or in response specifically to ICE.
I want to say we have so many organizations here as well. But what I want you to know is that our families are worth fighting for.
Right.
We're gonna step, we're gonna stand each and every time, and we're gonna fight so our families are free.
Right.
So we are asking that everybody that got arrested today be released.
Right.
We want them in their houses with their families, with their children.
Right.
That's where they, this is where we belong. This is our home,
right.
and we belong here. To my brother, David Huerta, we are with you. David has always been a champion of immigrant rights and worker rights. He has always been by our side, and he was there fighting for the workers like he has always done. And there is no reason for him to have been attacked and arrested the way he has been. He is currently being detained at General Hospital. And he, and it is important that he be set free as well.
Yay!
Okay, so if you heard her early on in that speech, she's talking about how, like, we have all these other organizations with us. And she mentions mm-hmm. David Huerta. So mm-hmm. David Huerta is the leader of the California Union. I don't know if they call it CU, but it's SEIU. And in the process, he was at a detention center with other labor union members. And he ended up obstructing like a van trying to come in to mm-hmm. the facility. And that's what led to him being detained. And there's video of it where he's like standing in front of it as the van is coming in and then the officers tackle him. Okay, so that's to provide you, this is like another organization that's in California that is helping with combat, call out these ICE raids.
Do they work, do you think that Churla and David Huerta, I mean, I'm sure they're familiar, obviously. He's a union boss and they're an organization. But do you think they work in conjunction with each other? Like they
absolutely.
Kinda, there's like a text message like, let's go show up.
Oh, by the way, interesting that you mentioned that. So I was scrolling X this morning, right? And I saw a post by Laura Powell. And she had shared a video clip of Angelica Salas speaking at a Los Angeles City Council meeting about CHRLA and a signal chat that they have for rapid response. Okay?
Okay.
Here we go.
Getting a lot of calls from folks. And I have to feel like there may be a way to systematically connect with all of our offices.
Some of your district staff is part of that rapid response network. So if you have your, especially your district staff that is in the local offices, they should be the folks who are actually plugged into to that. So we can actually provide you the information. They would then be on a signal chat that then they would be able to get information in real time, especially they would, the way it's organized, it's by communities and by region. So there's a San Fernando, there's, you know, South Los Angeles, et cetera, Core LA. And so then you can have your district staff there, and it actually has been very helpful. We actually, as part of the rapid response network, we also have certain municipalities that have their own rapid response network as well, so that you have both electeds and others who are not electeds, but city staff and others who are connected to it. Sometimes those connected to schools, so then they know if there's and all that it is that you know if there is ICE activity. And that it is a way by which to confirm.
To answer your question, yes, they all are on a text thread.
Wow.
On a signal chat, by the way, for them to share information and provide rapid response to LA raids. And the reason I emphasize rapid response is because I saw Karen Bass on multiple interviews using that exact same phrase. In fact, she was saying, we need to put an end to these egregious ICE raids because the issue that here is that LA has a rapid response network and the ICE raids are what caused these rapid responses to, you know, demonstrate or to protest, which is then what agitates them and escalates things into, because obviously it's not like, you know, okay, fine, you report that there's an ICE raid happening and let's say you're on a signal chat of just like verified people, quote unquote.
You know how signal chats go. Like they don't have a good track record this year.
Exactly. It's not like, you know, I mean, they're secure as far as like who screenshots them and then saves them. You know what I mean? And then shares them. But other groups have been working with CHRLA are the Party for Socialism and Liberation, which is a Marxist political party for sure.
Sounds like it.
Founded in 2004. And they are ones that they astroturf protest against Donald Trump. Then, you know, you have more legitimate, what I would present as more mainstream, let's say, organizations like Indivisible, who are doing the No Kings.
Well, I was going to say, they're, I have quite a bit of information about Indivisible. They're shady, obviously, but they're funding the No Kings, the nationwide protests on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's all connected. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. So we mentioned before when we were talking about everything with USAID and Doge early on, the account Data Republican.
Yeah.
And she has been working on collecting and aggregating information to specifically track the funding that is going to these organizations like CHRLA.
Yeah.
And Indivisible and everything. And so this entire talking point of this being like a grassroots movement and it not being planned or organized, these aren't spontaneous, let's put it that way. It's not organic and spontaneous in the sense of that somebody just, people get word and they just start showing up. Like it is organized, word spreads, and yeah, supplemental people show up, which is part of the problem, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then in addition to that, they're being organized and they're being funded by the state of California, because this is an interesting detail that I want to share with you. So as I was doing this research, there was mention, I think, in the Red State article about how not only have is their funding at like $43 million,
uh-huh.
but that their funding has significantly grown, jumped
yeah.
over time. So uh-huh. it had done a jump, I think, from 2022, if I'm not mistaken. No, maybe 2020 to 2023. Anyways, it was a short amount of time where it went from 12 million all the way up to 35 or 40 million or whatever, right? Uh-huh. I'm talking about from the state of California.
Yeah.
Well, there is a law that's SB 54, which is what makes California a sanctuary state. And that law passed in 2018, I believe. Mm-hmm. So it passed in 2018. And so before this law passed, Churla would get an average of about $2.4 million from the state of California. As soon as they become a sanctuary state, it shoots up to over 12 million. And now we're in 2023 where they're getting $34 million from the state. So to put that into context with you, you have Churla, an organization that is supposed to, like when you look them up and you see what they do, they're supposed to facilitate and provide legal advice for immigration and for people uh-huh. to become Americans. And when I say immigration, I'm talking about legal immigration.
Right.
How people right. can legally come into the United States. What are their rights as they come into the United States legally? Providing them legal advice, how to become an American. You would think that this would be like a pro-legal immigration assimilation right. organization.
Pro-America, okay. come to our country, do it the right way. Be yeah. part of this great experiment.
Right.
Correct. That would be the idea. Now, mind right. you, their leader has been there since 1990s.
Uh-huh.
And she came in initially illegally and then became a U.S. citizen in 2008. So that's like, you know, just to provide a little bit of her bias and background. Okay. Right.
You know, as a homeschool mom with four girls, finding news content that's actually appropriate for kids feels almost impossible these days. Everything's either dumbed down to the point of being useless, or it's filled with stuff I have to pre-screen because, heaven forbid, we get actual facts without a woke agenda attached. That's why I love WorldWatch. It's a daily news video designed specifically for kids that doesn't make me nervous about what they're going to hear. My girls actually get excited when it's time for our 10 minutes of WorldWatch because it covers real stories, the big, important stuff, and the fun, lighter things, all with a biblical worldview that aligns with our family's values. And can we talk about how refreshing it is to have news that recognizes God's design in everything? Plus, with a paid subscription, you get access to their full archive. So if we want to revisit a story or catch up on something we missed, it's all right there. WorldWatch delivers fact-based video news you can feel good about. As a busy homeschool mom, that's exactly what I need. Daily videos that help my kids explore the world while keeping our faith at the center. Check out the link in our show notes to get 3 free months. Trust me, it's an easy win for any parent who's tired of having to watch everything ahead of time, just to make sure it's safe for their kids.
So as soon as this sanctuary city law passes in 2018, they go from an increase of an average of a consistent 2.4 million from the state of California all the way to $34 million.
It's a network. They're churning out.
To them, what they're doing is facilitating.
Right, they're facilitating illegal immigration.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So that's our first player. Let's move on to the next player.
So they are the predominant player is what I would say.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
you know, in regards to no kings and indivisible, and they're more about organizing and protesting and doing it. You know, they go about like, we got to do it legally. We got to do it peacefully. They're more the old, like traditional opposition of legislation, organization. But the thing is that they are funded. Like they receive a huge amount of donations from activists, from progressives, from billionaires, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, and I haven't gone into it yet, which I would recommend if anybody's interested, and I'm going to be going into it later. But Data Republican just released some digging into yeah. specifically the No Kings protest.
Well, speaking of Data Republican, I'm looking right now. She reposted something about a group called the Party for Socialism and Liberation. And that's,
yeah,
it's one of the organizations. It's tied to Neville Singham, a Maoist with an office in Shanghai. He attends CCP meetings focusing on propaganda strategies and activities in the West. Massive illegal immigration, obviously, would be one of them. That's crazy.
Well, and that's the thing, because these are all side notes of things that I haven't been able to go into, but
yeah.
Anna Paulina Luna had just,
yes.
I just saw an interview where she did with Cuomo on News Nation, and she mm-hmm. was speculating that China is using these organizations and coordinating with these organizations in some way, I can't tell you exactly how, either passively or directly, to foment division within the country with these protests and this activism. The other question you start to ask, like, where are they getting this money?
Yeah.
Who's funding them? Because remember, there was like a clip that was going around of delivery of masks coming out of the back of this truck.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes.
I actually have a video for you here, but this is a local Fox News like affiliate reporter, and the camera is zooming in on the pickup truck that pulls in, and like people start surrounding the pickup truck and they're unloading materials. Here we go.
Where it just feels like something's going to happen and you're waiting for it to happen. And you can look around, you see the National Guard in front of the federal building. But as far as this intersection where we're seeing all this take place, there's no local police to be seen.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we have people handing out masks and gas masks. And we just saw people graffitiing the sidewalk right in front of this truck. And we've seen people doing burnouts in the street. And there's no local law enforcement around.
Let us clarify, because we've been showing a wide shot and from a different angle, a whole lot of officers on the other side of the federal building, almost behind you, and perhaps the visuals obstructed from your point of view. But I can tell you there are many, many, many LAPD cars and officers there that have staged. They are blocking that freeway.
And if you want to know, the masks, it turns out, are these, they're called like bio shields or something like that. They're like $60 a mask, and they're supposed to be for welding protection.
Okay. And though, not like any of the people down there during the day are rolling to wherever, Home Depot, buying those themselves. Like, those are being purchased en masse and shipped out there to all those people.
Well, and these are full face masks that are being hounded out from the back of this pickup truck by two women, while a masked driver, by the way, because the driver is also masked because we don't want to, you know, identify the driver, is handing them out like candy. And they swarm the truck. Now, I don't know if they're swarming the truck because there's a pre-organized thing of like, yo, these masks are about to roll up on this intersection. Or if it's just kind of one of these situations where you start to see something's getting handed out and everybody just starts gathering around.
Well, or if they're told, like, I mean, we're seeing, like I mentioned, I think, was it yesterday? I don't know. Whenever we podcasted last, today's Thursday, so that would be Tuesday, where there's stuff going up on the, like, internet, Facebook, Craigslist. I don't know, do people use Craigslist anymore? Wherever people are finding information, you know, they're being asked to come down. And they're soliciting and paying people to be involved in these. So, I mean, there could have been a, hey, there's going to be a mask drop at this location at this time. I don't know if people are doing that or if it's like you said, they just kind of roll up and anyone who's there. But that seems just insane that they can drop, you know, $1,000 on a bunch of masks.
I mean, unless it's not like these exactly are the most up and up individuals. I mean, they could have grabbed a pallet that dropped off the back of a truck or something. I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows?
But it's definitely interesting that, you know, you just start giving out masks out the back of a truck. And you have the, like, organizations like CHRLA and SEIU who are organizing at one level and doing protests. And by the way, I forgot to mention this earlier, but I really have a question specifically. Why are labor unions supporting
involved, right exactly
and involved with an organization that is promoting and facilitating illegal immigration? Because historically, labor unions are not pro illegal immigration.
Well,
because
think about Cesar Chavez. He was like, yeah. no illegal immigration. Absolutely not. He was not pro illegal immigration.
Well, and they're not for it, which makes sense because illegal immigration drives down wages. And
yes.
So by facilitating and bringing in illegal immigration, as a labor organization, you're working counter to the purpose and
to the whole point.
Interest
yes.
of your union members.
Right.
Because it makes it more difficult to negotiate with them. Because, like, why would a company, let's say, like, you're organizing a union, I don't know, for crop workers or something like that. Well, when you're competing against people who are not registered with your union, maybe they are registered with the union. That could be another, like, what's the legality of an illegal immigrant registering with a union?
Right.
I don't know.
Can you have
no,
I mean, you can have all kinds of things in America now. I mean, there's a bunch of kids that are going to school and receiving services and education and are on government services that are not even legal citizens. So that's always wild to me when I hear about, like, a family of illegal immigrants and the kid is in, like, high school and they've been attending school since kindergarten. I'm like, wait a second. How is this just now a revelation? Anyways. All I'm saying is it's very possible, probably.
Like, I don't know. I'm
definitely happening that there's union members that are not legal.
But regardless of that, let's say you are a union member. The thing is that not everybody is. If you have an influx of, like, millions of people coming into your state that are driving down wages, it is contrary to the entire purpose of a labor union. And in fact, it was like what I was talking about with my husband. Like, if anything, it's this mentality, which we talked about on Tuesday's episode, that they have a right to this land. They have, it's like a Marxist mindset. It's an anti-colonist mindset. And I really think that these organizations, because it's not just the SEI that has been working with Churla. There are other labor unions in California that have vocalized their support for Churla.
Uh-huh.
And it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, this is not the traditional labor union of the 1950s and 60s where Cesar Chavez was out there actually advocating for the rights of American citizens to be fairly paid. And I have my criticisms of labor unions, especially in the modern day. Obviously, they're not the same as they used to be. So, I mean, again, what you have is another organization that is promoting and facilitating illegal immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I mean, if you make it a welcoming environment, they will come. It's like,
yes.
Build it and they will come.
Right. Yeah.
We all know that line. So I don't necessarily understand. It's just so contrary to their interests that it makes no sense for them to be supporting this.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, because you mentioned high schools and schools just a little while ago,
mm-hmm.
Churla has programs that actively go into high schools and colleges to educate young mm-hmm. minds on immigration issues and rights and how to challenge them and combat them and what are their rights.
Yeah, this isn't surprising to me at all. I mean, we have all kinds of activist organizations in the schools. You got Planned Parenthood. Like, they're going actively into schools. I mean, look at the president of one of the biggest teachers unions. We talked about this on Tuesday as well, is up there shouting and yelling about how, you know, we need liberation from ICE. And come on. I mean, what do we expect? These schools are they have been for a long time. They're just like little laboratories for activist thought. It's what they are.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they really are.
Absolutely. So not only is Churla getting funding from the state of California to go against, I mean, I guess they're promoting the sanctuary city that is California, but then they're
But think about that. Think about what you're doing. Like, even if that's all you're doing is promoting a sanctuary city, you're not just, they're not going in there extolling the benefits of legal immigration and how amazing our country is and how wonderful that people want to come here. And let's talk about the legality of that and the process and how we can serve these people who want to legally enter our borders. No, that's not what they're doing. They're probably, like you said, I'd be very interested from someone, if there's anyone out there that had Churla come into their classrooms that they were either in as a student or teaching, or they had some experience, I would be very curious what they were talking about. Because I guarantee it's not a whole lot of warm, fuzzy feelings about our country. You know what I mean? It's probably, yeah, like we're assuming correctly, I'm sure, what are these illegal immigrants' rights and ICE bad, federal government, racist. I mean, what else can we expect? We see this all the time in schools. They're just hotbeds for progressive activism.
For sure. And then, I mean, you know, again, we're talking about not only their activism, but how that activism is funded. So we're not the only ones asking questions, okay? Senator Josh Hurley of Missouri just sent a letter to the Party for Socialism and Liberation. And I think he also sent a letter over to CHRLA, if I'm not mistaken, where even though that he is wanting to investigate and understand, where is your money coming from?
Yeah.
How are you funded? Because he's pointing out that this isn't just random activism. Mm-hmm. This isn't just random peaceful protests, which they are within their right. I think there's a larger question here of whether or not these organizations are facilitating illegal immigration, mm-hmm, and obstructing federal law.
Yeah.
And I think there's a big question there because I also debate like how it is that a state can be a sanctuary state. Now, granted, the loophole there, because a lot of people just kind of don't get it, as the loophole there, and I'm air quoting loophole, is that due to state rights, the way those laws are typically written is that the local law enforcement can't help federal law enforcement. So because it's a division of rights.
Yeah.
In other words, for example, when Trump calls in the National Guard, he can't use the National Guard for law enforcement in the state of California unless the governor says, I need help with law enforcement. Mm-hmm. The only thing that he can do, which is what he's currently doing, is to protect federal buildings because we're talking about jurisdiction. The belief here, the argument here, is that it goes both ways. So therefore, the local law enforcement can't help federal law enforcement unless they have the permission of the state.
Yeah.
And they clarified that via legislation in the state of California, which then ties the hands of everybody,
yeah,
in the state.
No, because I wouldn't think like, so. I mean, they're not state represented.
Well, they're not law enforcement for the state. They're not a representative of the state of California.
Right.
So it would be my understanding, and now I'm not no legal expert, but I would speculate that's obstruction. Like you shouldn't be able to do that. And right. So if through Holly's investigation, and I don't know, you know, these investigations, I don't know if anything's going to come of it. But if like through Holly's investigation, he finds that they have been actively working to obstruct federal authority or, you know, ICE and DHS and everything like that. And then on top of that, being funded by taxpayers, I think like they have a bigger issue.
Yeah, for sure.
So this name may not be the end of, you know, CHRLA, so yeah, to speak, in regards to whether or not they can just keep doing what they're doing. And here's the crazy part about this, okay, which I kind of brushed on this a little bit earlier, but it just to give you, you know, not only do you have Mayor Bass out there funding or finding money, mm-hmm, via her high school
boyfriend.
I don't want to say high school sweetheart, but her high school friend.
Well, we were on the same wavelength.
But she's very closely connected with them. They have endorsed her for mayor. She has put posts out there in her support for CHRLA. In her press conferences, she uses language that you hear from CHRLA, specifically about the rapid response. Mm-hmm. She specifically said during a press conference that she was informed about the ICE raids via CHRLA, via this rapid response organization.
Wow. How is that even possible?
Now, there was also, which I actually covered this a little bit on my article on when I was fact-checking Gavin Newsom, because, you know, there was this entire debate or narrative about how DHS did not inform local law enforcement of the ICE raids.
Uh-huh.
It is debated. DHS put out an official statement. They said, we informed them 2 days before. Local law enforcement says we never got the notification. However, here's the issue, is that because of SB 54, by law in the state of California, there can be no coordination between DHS and local law enforcement. So, like, let's just say, hypothetically, that somebody did call in and told someone, hey, we're going to be having these raids, or we're going to be coming in and doing some immigration enforcement. Mm-hmm. And this is, we're going to be going. And by the way, that immigration enforcement that they were doing was actually the execution of criminal warrants in the Fashion District because of money laundering.
Yep.
All right. So it wasn't even initially like a ICE raid per se, not in the sense of like they're just going into the, I don't know, like somebody messaged me like the Strawberry Fields or the Home Depot.
Right.
And just ran, like, what triggered this entire situation was them attempting to execute criminal warrants.
Of course. But that's,
and,
not,
you know,
I mean,
people saw ICE and it just kind of, it
not
blew
catchy.
Up into a whole thing.
That's the only, you know, posts that I'm seeing right now about illegal immigration are ICE agents are running through the fields in California and just collecting random people. They're going into Home Depots and just getting all the guys.
Well, and I'm not even going to say that that's not happening.
I'm not saying it's happening. I'm just saying they're definitely omitting information that there are very targeted plans to pick up people that are involved in some like really shady criminal activity. That's not being mentioned at all.
Well, no. And then the issue is that these organizations aren't exactly educating themselves on what raid is applying to who and what they're doing.
Right.
And so they're obstructing and causing issues for, I mean, I'm not going to split hairs because in my opinion, I don't think it matters necessarily. But if you're going to be someone who's going to split hairs, like, wouldn't you want to know whether it's going to be the quote, innocent labor worker at Home Depot versus a criminal enterprise that is causing issues within your community.
Right.
And they just want that federal law enforcement out of the state.
Like,
they just want them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so, like, I don't necessarily get why you would want that. But the point being is that we have the mayor who is coordinating with these organizations, who is being informed by these organizations. And even though she's trying to claim that, you know, DHS, I don't know if DHS coordinated with them or not. But the thing is that the states of California don't actually facilitate that because they can't talk to each other.
Yeah.
So even if DHS came in and they said, hey, we're going to be doing these raids, you don't have to partner with us, but we just want to let you know that we're going to be in your jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. So you know that what we're doing over here is arresting criminals. Let's not activate people to go and protest it and obstruct it. They don't like spread whatever minion got that information didn't spread it because of this law, likely because they're not supposed to coordinate anyway. So it's like, what's the point of me informing the chief of police or the mayor, because we're not even supposed to coordinate with them anyway.
Exactly.
That's me speculating. I don't know, but it's not like the law exists in the state of California that doesn't really create an environment for collaboration for people to be informed, which is why Karen, was being informed by CHRLA and not DHS or local law enforcement.
Makes sense. I mean, people know in California, you're not going to be reported to ICE. You're not going to be reported to the federal government if you're an illegal immigrant. It's just not going to happen.
No.
It's
Well, no. I mean, they've that's the environment that they've created.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So we will see how that continues to develop. Red State, I think, is going to be following up probably with some more investigations specifically on CHRLA and where this funding is coming from. You have to keep an eye on what Holly finds, if he finds anything. I'm very curious also about whether or not China's got their little fingers in this entire situation.
Of course they do. Oh my gosh. Obviously.
Which, by the way, speaking of China, okay, can we just talk a minute about this deal for a quick second that Trump announced, I believe, yesterday?
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, but from his initial post, like, I wasn't exactly loving it.
No, I wasn't thrilled.
Like, I didn't feel like McDonald's, I'm loving it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because First of all, I mean, yes, they're still getting, I think it's, this is all tentative, but they've come to an agreement of a 55% tariff still for China. And then we're going to have access to their rare earth minerals, batteries, that sort of thing, which frankly, you know, I've shared my opinions on the knee-jerk reaction of how to do this with China. Like, I think we should have shored up these batteries, rare earth minerals on our end first before we decided to engage in this, just because that's a national security issue. Yeah. And it makes us vulnerable that we have to, like, it makes us weaker in our negotiations with China when we're still dependent on them for these supplies because of our national security needs, right?
Yeah.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
But in addition to that, I think the one that I was more concerned about was, and he didn't provide the specifics on this, but the openness of Chinese students.
Yes.
Into the United States.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like a great trade. I mean, we have a problem with China funding and being embedded within our education system already. Like, it's come up time and time and time again. This isn't, it's not good.
Yeah. The Confucius Institute has like multiple, like, they're throughout the United States, yeah, especially in higher education institutions.
I mean, you have people smuggling, you know, in like agroterrorism funguses to try and meddle with our crops in our country, like 3 within the past month. This, I mean, it's happening everywhere. So not great.
I'm not exactly loving it. I need to know more details about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got to be some really firm details in order to be like, okay, yeah, I can see that. Like, I just don't understand. And it's really a difficult situation to be in.
Yeah.
And so I do understand it and I don't understand it. Like, it's a difficult situation because, unfortunately, because of previous administrations and the openness of trade with China, we have become incredibly entangled with China and dependent on them.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to see is a focus on how can we detangle ourselves from China.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, because of that dependence on China, especially for materials that, you know, are instrumental to our national security, we can't just be like, no, about a lot of issues. And I think the student issue is one of them. And I think it's really telling that this is one of them because China is like, we need to have our students in the United States.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think when you have an adversary like China, I don't think we should be allowing any of them
of
to come
not.
Into the United States.
No, but I think if Trump was questioned about it, he would say, you know, it's a negotiation. It's the art of the deal. We got to give a little to get a little. It's just what we have to do. I just think this is a massive, like, get for the CCP. You know what I mean?
I need to know more details about it, but I'm just not loving it. And what I really hope is that what we're having here is a kind of temporary situation, only in that, like, yeah, okay, hopefully we've improved our relationship or our issues with China.
Never.
Not in the sense of, like, our actual relationship, but I just mean, like, in regards to trade.
Yeah.
Versus what they were before. And so for now, we're in a little bit better situation, but we need to get ourselves prepared to completely decouple from China.
That, yes, correct.
Because it is ridiculous to be this tied in with an adversary.
Yes.
Like, it is dumb.
Correct. and dangerous. I mean, we talk about like how dangerous the CCP is, how they're a threat to national security all the time. I mean, it's on the lips of every single politician, but we're just going to be like, sure, Chinese students, you're just youngsters yearning for a quality education. Come here to our country and embed yourselves in the universities all over. Go ahead. No big deal. Nothing nefarious here.
It's freaking wild.
Yes, it is.
So, all right. Well, and then in other news, I don't know if you saw, I just want to mention this, by the way. Elon kind of apologized to Trump.
Yeah. I mean, it was a matter of time. You know, they were going to be buddies.
It was a little
again.
Bit of a weak apology.
I mean, he said he was sorry.
Well, and I did say, like, I mean, he doesn't have to apologize for everything he said, because he's like, I apologize for many
recently.
Of the things I said.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just like a blatant, like, I apologize for what I said. And he also didn't specify, like, what he's apologizing for, which is probably, like, the Epstein comment. You know what I mean? Obviously.
I would hope he would apologize for that if it's not actually, like, true. I don't know.
Yeah.
Candace Owens is out there saying, basically, she was like, it's true. He's in there. But, I mean... That was just something.
What do you mean he's in there?
Like, of course he's in there. His name's in there, obviously. Like, I think she was kind of. I think she just wants people to listen to her podcast. I don't know. So it was.
Well, I mean, I'm not debating. Yes, Trump's name.
He even said it's in there because he's met him.
Yeah.
Like, that's not.
And he's on the flight logs from before everybody, like, started to know what was going on.
Right. It's just really, really good clickbait. Like, he's in there. It's like, yeah, we know he's in there. We've been over this. It's nothing new. Stop it. Get new material.
It's also ridiculous, like, to think, like, they have some kind of smoking gun that would have been exposed to even, like, stop him in the first place for running for president. Like, the Democrats had control of this. Like, they knew it. You know, we have the entire Hollywood, whatever, the grab 'em audio with Billy Bush that came out early on in the election. And he... got through that, which, you know,
that
if you're gonna tell me that if they had him diddling with, like, young women on Epstein Island, that it wouldn't be out in public,
right? Like, yeah, it would.
Hello.
I think it would have emerged by now. There's been a lot of other times when the Democrats would have definitely pressed that nuclear button. They would have been like, we got to do this now.
Yeah. So the question is, will they or won't they? Will they make up? Will they become best friends again?
I don't think they'll ever be the way they were, but I think that they'll, I mean, for the good of, like, he has lots of government contracts.
Yeah. He kind of just can't be like,
he can't, but also, like, he offers a lot to the world, but to our country business wise. I mean, he's very
procreation.
He's by himself repopulating the earth. No, he's brilliant and is an asset in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So
I just don't think that we're going to be seeing them at a USC fight laughing with each other and dancing at Mar-a-Lago anytime soon. But I do think that they'll, like, I mean, even Trump has been, like, kind of softening to him, you know? So
I think he probably feels a little bit bad for him. I think he does.
Yeah.
I think that with Trump, his friendship with Elon was a bit more transactional than I think Elon really looked up to Trump in a father figure kind of way.
Well, and I think I even speculated on this a while back because he has a really contentious relationship with his actual biological father.
Yeah.
And so I think he kind of lashed out. He was hurt. He has a little bit. He's on the spectrum. Like, who knows how that kind of can.
He does not have someone reading his tweets before he sends them out. I mean, he's just, like, firing
also,
those things.
So there's the possibility that there's a lot of speculation that he uses illicit drugs and stuff like that on top of that. Like,
there's a lot going on there.
So I'm going to go ahead and wrap us up for today's episode of Rivera and Reeves. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Also, we got quite a few comments and positive feedback on our first trial run of video. Unfortunately, we're not going to do the video this time because I am still learning the software. However, it is coming. It will happen one day. I'm glad you guys enjoyed that. We're going to keep an eye on where is the money going? Who is organizing this? And keep your head on a swivel because this weekend is supposed to be lit.
Yeah. We'll see.
When it
now
comes
it's up
to
1,800 protests around the country in all 50 states now.
Yeah. So to combat Trump's king what is it, his parade, because of the U.S. Army parade, which is one of the things that Newsom said blankly. He was like, because Trump is throwing himself a parade for his birthday.
Party. Yeah, that's what everybody's saying.
No mention whatsoever.
The Army's 250th birthday, Flag Day, patriotism. No, they're just, they're running with it.
No mention of that at all. So, all right, friends, I think that's it for today's episode of Rivera and Reeves. Reminder, this weekend, we have an unfiltered episode that is exclusive to paying supporters. If you want to listen to that episode and our archive of all of our previous unfiltered episodes, please consider becoming a paying supporter because it's a good time. Also, this particular episode, submit some questions. Like, if there are like topics or things that you feel like that we haven't talked about, drop them in the comments or in the chat. Let us know what you want us to answer and what do you want to hear about. And we'll talk about it on this weekend's unfiltered episode. If this is your first time here, welcome. You have found your new favorite podcast. Please hit that follow button. Give us a 5-star rating. Leave us a review and share it with a friend because it really helps the podcast grow. Also, there is a link for merch in the show notes. There is also a link on how to become a paying supporter. So give that a click so you can listen to this weekend's episode. And I think that's it. That's all we have for today. We will see you again on Tuesday for another episode of Rivera and Reeves. In the meantime, here is a reminder that the media is trash and we have no tolerance for it. Okay, bye.
Bye.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.